tonight. KHZ Radio is delighted to welcome the multi-talented Dudley Saunders into the studio with us. Thank you so much for coming in, Dudley.
Oh, it's a real pleasure.
You are certainly, you know, a gorgeous man, I gotta say that. Oh, no! Oh, those muscles.
You can't see me blushing now.
Dudley is studly.
Someone said I looked like Ben Kingsley if he pumped iron.
I can see
Gandhi
that.
On steroids. No steroids, though.
Well, he's essentially bald, which is why he's making these references. He looks great. I want to congratulate you on the release of your new CD.
Oh, thank you. I'm really excited about it.
The Emergency Lane.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Why that title?
Well, it actually comes from a song, Bad Driver. There's a line in the song where he says, "The emergency lane is my middle of the road."
Ah.
And it's about sort of, you know, barreling through trouble. It's not, you know, I'm not really into drifting sadness. If you're going to come into trouble, you need to barrel down it on a, you know, pumped up pickup truck.
Sounds like the plan to me. Why not?
Yes.
Well, you are very literary. We can't avoid that.
No, we can't.
No, we can't. We have to address that one. Talk about coming head on with the pickup truck. I understand that you started as a performance artist.
Yes, that's right. I was a part of the East Village in the 80s, the kind of, you know, where we were sort of ripping up everything. I call it the scary analog to the summer of love. It was the summer of fear. In the East Village in the 80s, there was a kind of an ethic that if something made you uncomfortable, you immediately had to go deeply into it and put it up front.
Mm.
And so performance art was great because it was you had to create your own form each time. You couldn't rely on conventions. You couldn't hide behind conventions.
Ah.
So, you know, you were forced to experiment and experiment in a way that had to do with your content. You know, what most put what you were trying to talk about or the feelings or experiences you were trying to get out there, what really put them most in your face and in your gut. So it was very exciting and really great training.
Can you give us an example of the performance art you did?
That time we used to call it, I used to kind of refer to it as witnessing because I am from Kentucky. I grew up in the city, but I was kind of I think like Flannery O'Connor said the South was Christ haunted. But I kind of noticed that when people were in these altered states of witnessing and testifying, that it seemed like, you know, they could say or do anything, especially things that were very forbidden.
Mm.
And so it kind of came into the back of my head. And so I found that there were certain kinds of writing or things you could say if you did it in a kind of this sort of religious ecstasy. So a lot of my performance art was based around that. And I was also kind of crafting my own version of these sort of twisted hymns, which weren't always very hymn-like. And that's kind of what happened as I began incorporating these more and more into the work. People were like, they really like that song,
ah.
You know, and so it's, you know, at some point it began like pushing more and more of it into, you know, into the song form, which is interesting because songs actually have structures that we expect.
Yes.
Go see a performance artist, you have no idea what they're going to do. That's part of the adventure. A song, you kind of expect certain things. But the good thing is you get to toy with people's expectations. All you have to do is surprise and delight them.
Well, and you are surprising and delightful. Your work, no, your lyrics are just wonderful. You've got all kinds of juicy things in there. There's alliterations. There's amazing visual images.
Well, it was always important that, you know, you be able to see really what the image in my head and trying to put that image in your head. And one time I talked to the songwriter Janice Ian, you know,
oh,
who
yes.
did that 17.
Oh, fabulous.
And she talked to me and she was saying, you know, the one thing about, you know, rhymes and alliteration is it's not just to rhyme or to be tricky, it's actually to kind of suck the listener in to what you're saying. Because a rhymed word makes you think about it. It
mm-hmm.
makes you pay attention. It focuses you on it. If you think about it and are aware of that when you're writing, it can just make it much more compelling to listen to.
Absolutely. There's definitely a link between the sound of the words and the music.
Oh, yeah. There's music to the language. And when I was in the text of performance art, I was very, very focused on the musicality of language. It's, you know, it can be beautiful, but not just beautiful in a distant literary way, but in an enticing way.
And you have a very diverse range of subject matter. There's
mm-hmm.
one song I want to ask you about, and I'm almost afraid to, and it's Love Song for Jeffrey Dahmer. What was the inspiration for this?
Well, I'll tell you, it's not what people expect. I get a whole range of reaction. I got hate mail from it. I've had people just be, you know, disgusted and horrified, and I also learned that when I play a show, I have to talk about it before I sing it, or people get very, very uncomfortable halfway through, because it's a very beautiful song, but you can see them in the audience. They start to go, what did he just sing? What did he just sing? And then they don't know what to do. They freak out. So the story. Well, I was talking to some people who were into S&M, particularly into bondage, and they said something really interesting to me. They said that whenever they were most tied up, completely tied up and immobilized, that was when they felt completely secure. The only time in their lives they felt completely secure, which is really counterintuitive for most of us, right?
Absolutely.
But I'd been reading or something about Jeffrey Dahmer, and it kind of hit my head like, well, here's a man who was so terrified that he was going to be left that he had to eat you to keep you from going. And it just sort of came in my head like, well, what if someone had come home with him and wouldn't let him leave? What if they tied him up and said, you can't leave me? Would that have, flipped the switch and actually given him what he'd always wanted? It was kind of a what if song. Is this the love song that if had been sung for him would have saved, countless lives and made him a happy man? So
okay.
That's love song for Jeffrey Dahmer. So what you hear is this cascade of sadomasochistic images surrounded by, oh, baby, baby, you're my sweet baby. There are expressions of love that to most of us seem like expressions of terror.
And very sweet music, really.
Yeah, this is becoming a habit of mine, these beautiful, sweet, even sunny-sounding songs that
with
are a little...
Disturbing lyrics. Yes, disturbing, some of them.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to get in trouble.
Are you playing any gigs live that we can come out and see you?
Actually, I'm playing a benefit out here in Los Angeles on July 5th. That's the next one. Grassroots Acoustica's first anniversary. They do a benefit for a different organization every month. Mm-hmm. And this month they're doing it for Children of the Night. They help get, kids off the street who are in danger of prostitution or being sucked into pornography. And they've been incredibly successful.
Certainly a worthy cause. When is that?
Yeah. That's July 5th, Saturday, July 5th, at The Spot in Culver City,
which is
just great.
And where can our KHZ Radio listeners get your new CD, The Emergency Lane?
You can find it in some retailers, but the easiest thing, of course, you can download them on iTunes, you can get them from Amazon, you can get them from CD Baby, you can get them from my website, dudleysaunders.com. Those are the quickest ways. I found people are far too impatient to go trolling through their record stores lately. I think you can actually order it from Walmart even, though.
That's great. That's great. I thank you so much for coming in. You have your guitar. You have agreed to sing something for us. What are you going to do?
Well, since I'm doing this project, which is a new project of an album of songs all inspired by novels, I thought I'd actually give you one that you can't hear anywhere else.
Thank you. We love that.
Yeah, something from Martin Amis' novel. Once again, it's a beautiful song about a man who survives the gulag in Russia and the Soviet Union. But it's really beautiful, I promise you.
Okay. Thank you again for coming in. And the name of this song?
Wheelchair in the 7-Eleven Parking Lot.
Wheelchair in the 7-Eleven Parking Lot. Here it is.
Pushing his wheelchair with his feet over the glow of painted parking lines. Mercedes and Porsches pulling to eat, shouting Russian out of time, like the house of meetings you met in your prime. It's all go wherever you want now to go, and you go there and constantly and never slow for something you wanted that now you don't know. But you'll remember any second now. And all of this freedom is all beside the point when the limbs in your mind bend on broken joints. Sometimes Russian Christ leans out to anoint you, but only gives you coins. Oh, oh, oh.
purple, golden fades in night, and you finally walk your wheelchair home. Lie down in the LA heat until you learn to sleep with the tundra in your bones, and your dreams go wherever they want now to go. And it's always to the bed where she lay waiting for something you wanted. And now you don't know, but you remember any second now. Because all of that freedom, it was all beside the point. When the limbs in your body had broken joints, she was Russian Christ leaned out to an